Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Don Tony.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Difa, how you doing? Don Tony here, Q&A live stream for our YouTube channel members. Much love, my brothers. I am here Thursday night, a little bit under the weather. I don't know what the hell's going on with me right now. I didn't post any photos on social media, but I had an interesting day today. And I'll share it with you in a little bit. We're going to talk about your questions for tonight. I will get into the AEW Dynamite rating, which is very interesting. Very interesting. Also, the episodes for the upcoming series, WWE Evil, that is going to air on Peacock. The episodes have been announced, and some of them are pretty hilarious. So I know Mish would love to get into these on Monday, so you might hear a little bit of a repetitive discussion on that Monday, but we'll reveal it here today. It's pretty funny. Zomerdi's Rams fan, Kevon Austin, and everyone else, much love. You know, I know not everybody is able to tune in live, and yes, forgive me, because I know a lot of you have said, hey, DT, Thursday nights I work. Thursday nights, I go to sleep early. It's time to unwind. I do this and do that. Can you take some questions in advance from channel members? And like 9 o'clock tonight, I posted a thread and said, yeah, by all means. So going forward, you know, the attendance live is not required. This is a show that, yes, the audio version is available to everybody. YouTube, non-YouTube, Patreon, non-Patreon, but as far as the video aspect, that is for our channel members. Those submitting the questions are our channel members. This show is yours. So much love. Before I get into anything, I got to show you something. If you ever saw the movie The Godfather Part 2, you know, the one where Al Pacino, you know, was really the focal point of the whole movie. You remember the infamous scene where he's in the Italian restaurant and he's with Salazzo and McCluskey, which I think was the police chief. And then he ends up getting up and, shoots them in the head. Remember that? Look at this screenshot. Now, for those in audio only, you know, you could just Google at your leisure an image search. Just look up McCluskey and Godfather. And when Pacino gets up and shoots him, you know, I never realized this. And then I watched the video clip of it on YouTube and I couldn't stop laughing. If you look at the screenshot after he shot Salazzo and he shoots McCluskey the first time and McCluskey's holding his throat and then he finishes him off. Look at the chick in the background on the left. Look at her. She's just sitting there. She's hanging out. Yeah, hey, Tony D'Angelo, go eat in a restaurant like that. As if people could even see me on the screen. I'm like, hey, Tony D'Angelo. Oh, and by the way, Mikey sent a question in tonight that really had me a little bit concerned about the future of these shows. I'm not kidding. No, I'm not going to do a GoFundMe to raise money for it, but yours truly has to do something legit. Professional to protect the future of these shows. And it has to do with NXT, which I'll get into in a little bit. But if you look at that scene again, look at the woman in the background. She's just sitting there. She's taking it in. The waiter is like, look, the waiter has blood all over him. And the waiter is like, would you like the check? Can I get you anything else? Do you need something for your throat? He's just standing there. I never realized that. How do you get away with stuff like, now sure, a few seconds later, they all freak out. And don't give me, oh, they were just like scared and they just froze. The Godfather is a good movie, Rams fan. Godfather 2 is my favorite of the series. You know, it's something that requires a lot of attention. You know, I can honestly tell you, growing up in an Italian family, The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2 was on my television more than you could possibly imagine. I have definitely watched both of those movies at least 200 times in my lifetime. I mean, it is so embedded in my brain. You know, Cristo de puttana! You know, like everything from the movies. But because, you know, growing up in an Italian household, this, you know, at the time we didn't have the internet. You had very limited what you could watch on TV. We had Wimeco Home Theater, which really wasn't all the greatest. So when my father got the VHS tapes of The Godfather in like the 70s, 79s, that was it. It was played on the TV like every other day. If anybody knows that scene, you got my respect. But, you know, you got to really pay attention to the movie. You know, you're not required to know history like they do with CM Punk's Ring. How awful is that? I swear to God, the last week is just really put an exclamation point on, I'm telling you, this radical audience of AEW is going to be their demise. And a couple of years ago when I said AEW was going to be the first ever millennial promotion, you know, I know a lot of people call me a genius for saying that, but that's not something you really want. Because, yes, you think millennial, you think demographic, all right? That's the first thing you think. But that's okay if it's a Ring of Honor promotion that draws 600. That's okay if it's MLW that has bullshit TV that draws a small audience. When you're a billionaire, you know, the cons are worth more than Vince. You're a billionaire, and you're looking to be a solid number two. You cannot alienate a huge wrestling audience, disgruntled wrestling fans. Imagine being a disgruntled wrestling fan that you have watched WWE for the last 10, 15 years, and you really just can't deal with WWE anymore. And you start watching AEW and you don't know much of what's going on, and you ask a simple question on social media, hey, what's the deal with this? And you have hundreds of people that it makes them feel better that they're smarter than you. They're smarter than you. That's what it is. And there's so many fake people out there that never saw CM Punk's shit in Ring of Honor. If they did, and if that song was so epic that I could be crying right now, how many times did you read that on social media? I'm in tears right now. Then why the fuck did you never tweet CM Punk with the Ring of Honor theme in the last 9 months? How come there's no tweets? Man, how crazy would it be if CM Punk came back to, you know, his old Ring of Honor theme? Miseria cantare. Could you imagine if he, nobody. It's so epic. I can cry right now. They don't even think about it. They didn't know anything about it. It's just they're watching it now, and they're so in love with CM Punk being in AEW that, my God, AEW got CM Punk back in wrestling. Thank you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that audience is going to be the death of AEW as far as expanding into a global conglomerate, because they are alienating so many fans out there. Let's talk about the rating for a minute. Let's talk about the rating. Last week they did like 965 or something like that, and we were like, my God. The week before they did like 1,000,010, and I said, yeah, they should do 1.1, maybe 1.2, you know, and last week it went down. The go-home show, the Revolution, it went down. So now you have Revolution. And look, I am an AEW fan. I'm a WWE fan. But I am very, level-headed when I talk about this stuff. And I don't masturbate any of these promotions. I don't need a rub. As long as you support me, that's all that matters. So I tell things straight up, honest, without trying to cover shit up or trying to twist it around. Okay? Let's just look at it like this. You just had the Revolution pay-per-view. I honestly think it will likely become the number one ranked pay-per-view for 2022. It's probably going to be pay-per-view of the year. I mean, WWE obviously has to truly step it up. But look, WWE could put on an insane pay-per-view that blows away Revolution. And when you look at, you know, like sites like Meltzer's Newsletter and others, you know that they're going to choose the AEW Revolution pay-per-view, which is fine, which is fine. I mean, you're not required to be a diehard WWE fan in order to subscribe to the newsletter. That's why I always tell everyone, you know, you be part of whatever makes you happy. If you love WWE and you love the characters and you love the storyline and you don't need Easter eggs and you don't need that you have to have a social studies degree and the AEW wrestler history in order to mingle online, that's your prerogative. James Campbell, what's up, brother? So we have the Revolution pay-per-view, which I truly feel is going to be pay-per-view of the year, unless WWE really pulls some shit out of the bag, or, hey, maybe AEW tops it in 2022. So you're coming off of Revolution. You're coming off Wardlow finally turning babyface. You come off the epic battle with CM Punk and MJF. You come off a lot of other situations. Then you have the rumored debut of Jeff Hardy. We also have, you know, everything else that went. William Regal. William Regal is going to debut on Dynamite as the manager for Moxley and Danielson. So last week they do like 966. You have Revolution, pay-per-view of the year candidate, and now you got Dynamite. Holy shit, we got this, we got this, we got this. Everything I just said. And the rating that came in, boom, boom, boom. You like that, huh? 945. The rating went down. It went down. 945. It went down. So I'm obviously expecting a lot of sugarcoating. And do you remember on Sunday when I showed you the ratings for the 4 days that involved news? In AEW, of those 4 days, in the top 10 for the nights that wrestling aired, AEW was the only show that had under 1 million viewers. That's not good. That's not good. You come off of a Revolution. You have Regal. You have Moxley and Danielson's tag team. You have Wardlow turning. Jericho, Kingston. It goes down the list. You have less people tuning in. Do you remember Tony Khan's press conference last year? We want to build. Why do you think? Remember when Rampage was created? We want to expand our audience. We want to get more viewers. We want to get more people on the product. So what's the spin today? Well, the 18 to 49 or 18 to 34, 25 to 54, whatever the fucking demographic that they give a shit about. Oh, that went up 10%. That went up 10%. The fuck you talking about? You just had the pay-per-view of the year and a gigantic lead-in into Dynamite and you lose viewers? Yeah, but the 18 plus, as if that demo is the only demo that spends money. Imagine having a wrestling show and you have 1,000 people show up at your show. Yes, I know what you're going to say. Well, everybody paid to get in. And then you do another show and now you only have 800 people instead of 1,000. Yeah, but look at everybody in the crowd. There's more 18 to 49 than there is older people. The fuck does that mean? You want to build your audience. Oh, and it went up 10%. What does that mean? That means some other viewers were so preoccupied, they chose not to watch. 2 weeks in a row, this rating went down. The lead into Revolution and the first show after Revolution, the ratings went down. Tony Khan goes on Twitter today and says, and again, I want you to think in your mind, that's why we get no love. We'll never get love. Tony Khan goes on social media and says, much love. We were number one for the night. Number one for the night. No, they weren't. They were number 50 for the night. They were number one in a particular demographic. He doesn't even specify anymore that he's talking about a demographic. Do you remember when he called out Fox News? And I had mentioned that Jim Cornette actually defended Tony Khan on this. And I said, that's strange. The follow-up show, Jim Cornette says, well, I had no idea that Tony Khan was only focusing on a demographic. Even Jim Cornette said that. The bottom line is, when you have less people tuning into your product, yeah, but they're all 18 to 34. You better hope that every fucking 18 to 34 or 18 to 49 or fans that have balls versus fans that don't have testicles, you better hope that every single one of them spends money. I have been saying for decades that the only people that should care about demos is the wrestling companies, the networks, and the advertisers. Everybody else doesn't matter, but they spin it to, because they're so insecure. I have never seen so many people. Somebody posted an epic comment this morning that I really wanted to respond to. I said, you know what? No, I chose not to. Somebody wrote a comment saying, stop saying that wrestling is therapy. Therapy is therapy. I was like, wow, that's so ingenious. Now, it's not so cut and dry. If you're down, COVID, the war, social issues, if you're really, really just depressed, gas prices, inflation, you know, I remember last year when I was talking about prices going up, and I remember we had Crazy Cruiserweight and a bunch of others like, can you please stop talking about economics? Can you please stop talking about inflation? How do you like me now? How do you like me now? How do you like the shit now? Now everything is going up. Restaurants, you want food delivered? No problem. Gas surcharge. Oh, you want to have something shipped from Amazon? They're going to a little surcharge. A dollar here, a dollar here, a dollar here. You see wrestling shirts now. You pay almost $50 for one fucking shirt. I mean, now people don't like it. But, you know, you see what's going on. Of course, wrestling is an escape. It's an escape for me, too. This makes me happy. Hanging out with all of you makes me happy. Having you all tune in and you tell me that you enjoy it makes me happy. I hope it makes you happy as well. But if you have some real deep depression issues, wrestling should not replace actual therapy. Because again, when I did that Max Caster rap way back when, you know, people are starting to realize AEW is just another business, another wrestling promotion. Tony Khan and some of the staff there are doing a great job making the fans feel very, very, very personalized to the fans out there. They feel that when they tweet Tony, hey, Tony, thank you for everything that you do. They post the infamous picture of Tony like this. They actually think that Tony, like, sees it, loves it. Oh, look at John. Hey, honey, look at John's tweet. How cool is that? And then until these fans start tweeting Tony, Tony, what do you like to eat on a Saturday night? And he doesn't respond. Hey, Tony, what do you think about this? And they don't respond. Hey, Cody, what do you think? The only time Cody responds is if it's a blue check mark or if you say something that really, really pisses him off. This fan base, that's very loud on social media, they are making it so unpleasant for casual fans. Imagine you're not even a wrestling fan anymore. You change the channel, you see AEW, wow, what the hell is this? And you see a couple of things and you don't know the history and you simply ask a question online. There's 1,000 people that think that they have some type of college education because they know what Bryan Danielson did back 20 years ago. And it makes you like, oh, fuck this. I can't even ask a fucking question anymore. Hey, Siri, what's the deal with CM Punk's entrance in AEW? Hey, Siri, what's up with CM Punk's entrance on Revolution? You know what Siri's answer will be? Well, why don't you ask the people on social media? I ain't fucking getting involved. Harris says, screw focusing on the demographic. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, I've brought this up so many times. You get 500,000 viewers of Rampage, 600,000 viewers on Rampage. You think all 600,000 don't watch WWE? Let's say half of them watch WWE. What are you saying? That only 300,000 of the people tuning in are, you know, big-time AEW fans that prefer AEW instead of WWE? That they put there, if you have, look, I feel that you need to have WWE fans watching AEW. If you have fans that are huge on WWE, but also watch AEW, there is a good possibility that they're going to spend their money on WWE. You know, oh, Peacock, $5, $10, buy a shirt, do this or do that. You know, AEW does pay-per-views every couple of months. You know, 150,000 buys. Okay. They do it every 3 months. You divide that into three straight months. That's 50,000 buys a month. I mean, does that sound like a really big, impressive number? You have a three-month build. You have this, and the ratings go down. There's no excuse. The ratings went down. They're not increasing their fan base. Tony Khan's press release about Rampage was, we want to, remember CM Punk when he first debuted? We want to cater to those fans that have fallen out of love with pro wrestling. Where are they? Where are they? All I know is you look back 6 months ago, yeah, they're averaging close to 1 million viewers now, but you look 6 months ago and you see how many people they added to their payroll that cost big bucks. And you see how much the ratings have gone up. You know, I could see if some of these wrestlers were 10 years younger. Then you could say, oh, no, we're building the foundation for tomorrow. But, you know, my honest opinion, why do I think the rating was low yesterday? Because, honestly, yeah, Thunder Rosa is probably going to win the women's championship next week. And for San Antonio, she did it in her hometown. Wonderful. Peachy fucking keen. I want Thunder Rosa to win that belt. But outside of San Antonio, do you think people out there want to see the bullshit that we saw on Revolution and the bullshit that happened a month ago and the bullshit that happened a month before that? And then we're supposed to be, but at least she's going to win it in her hometown. I don't give a fuck that she wins in her hometown. Give me good storylines. Jeff Hardy makes his debut yesterday. We joked about it. You know, some people that didn't tune into our show yesterday tried to throw it in my face, you know, that other people were talking about. No, we talked about it yesterday. Jeff Hardy comes out to make the save of his brother getting beat down. And he's so excited that he's going to save his brother from a beatdown that when he comes out, he's got to do, I look like the Bushwhackers more than like this. I don't have much room to do it. He's doing, somebody made me laugh. If you ever play a video game, WWE video game, he said Jeff Hardy looked like when you actually hit the taunt instead of the run button. And that is so spot on. He actually stopped to do his fucking intro. Come on, man. God. 9:45. Disappointing. Very, very surprised. I thought 1.1 million. I'm going to stop predicting ratings based on how much I like the shows. I thought yesterday's show was a lot of fun. But, you know, also you put Sammy Guevara versus Scorpio Sky as the main event. I have nothing against Scorpio Sky, but, you know, I mean, it's that may attract the hardcore viewers. And look, the 945 is not a terrible number. But the overall is they don't want to go off the air with Jericho turning on Kingston. They don't want to go off the air with something with MJF and CM Punk, a swerve. They want to go off the air with their young stars, the stars they feel they owe it to them. Like, you deserve to be in the main event, Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia is an up-and-coming star. I have no fucking excitement to watch him after 2 hours to close out an episode. Why? Because you feel it in your heart that he deserves to have the main event. No, not interested. So anyway, I never even explained earlier why I even showed you this picture from The Godfather, from McCluskey and Sollozzo. I didn't even explain why this was even brought up today. Let me tell you quickly. It's amazing. We're already almost halfway through this episode. Because like I said earlier this week, we're going to start having the episodes go around an hour. Because we're online now 7 days a week. And number one, I'm not burning myself out. Number two, I don't want to overload any of you out there. You know, before we would do 2.5 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Wednesday, 2.5 hours when we were doing it on Friday. That's 7 hours. So that's fine. But then you add in Sunday. Then you add in Saturday. Then you add in Patreon, which is Tuesday. So that's where you start overloading everyone. But doing like an hour to 70, 75 minutes a night, now you may still only do 7 hours, but it's spread out a lot more. I also decided we're not putting the video for watch-alongs online. Because the whole idea of me being hired for these watch parties is for people to tune in live and hang out and chat and socialize, watch a little wrestling. And if people are going to just, no, I'm going to check out somebody else's podcast, I'll just watch the replay later on. No, you snooze, you lose. So the watch parties, the replays will not be online. I can put clips up. If somebody is on the stage and says something hilariously funny, then yeah, I could put clips up if anybody wants to see themselves again, a replay of what they said. Absolutely. It was some awesome conversation. In fact, you know what, for Darren and D-Boy, Joe Punch, everybody else that tuned in on the stage and talked Tuesday, the company Playback that hired me went out of the way to say to me, wow, you had people on the stage the whole night. I said, yeah. I said, they wanted to talk wrestling. He's like, I can't believe that you had people. They thought that there was going to be, like, for the first time around, there was going to be like gaps of no commentary, no nothing. So it was awesome. So don't forget, tomorrow night, I'm doing one for SmackDown and I'm doing one for Rampage. You don't have to be part of both. You know, if you just want to stop by to say hi, absolutely. So the link is, you know, for the channel members. It's also posted on Patreon. If anybody else that's not a Patreon or not a channel member and you want to be part of it, all you got to do is DM me at DonTonyD on Twitter or email me, DonTony@DonTony.com. Don't post in the comment section on YouTube, yeah, give me the link. It is by invitation only. I'm not putting the link publicly. Everybody's invitation is different. Because I had a few people on YouTube like, yeah, send me the link. Yeah, how? You didn't give me your email. You didn't DM me. So how am I supposed to send you the link? So anyway, I want to share something with you. Earlier today, I actually had a little bit of a situation that reminded me of that scene from The Godfather where Al Pacino is at the table with the police chief McCluskey and Sollozzo, So let me tell you what happened earlier today. That's why I probably sound a little off today, and I feel off today. I feel awful right now. I'm not kidding. This is what happened. You'll get a kick out of this. Around 12 o'clock today, my mom calls me up. She's going to get her hair dyed, and you know, she don't drive. She never got her license, so she wanted me to find out how much an Uber would be to go from her house to her hair place. I checked it. It was about $55 because it's not close to her house. So it ends up my father drops her off. So I said, Ma, if you want, I'll pick you up when you're done and I'll drive you home. She's like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. About a half an hour later, one of my customers, you know, who's, you know, got some connections. He's like, Anthony, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the office. I'm about to, you know, go to lunch and everything. He's like, all right. You want to go out to eat? And he offers to take me to this restaurant that I've been before. Some of my customers like to take me out for lunch, you know, a little payback for help I give them. So I said, okay. I don't want to say the name of the restaurant, but it was in Middle Village, Queens. And my mom was going to Maspeth, Queens. And they're about 5 minutes apart. And I said, wow, this is perfect. I'll go out for a little lunch. My mom is going to be 5 minutes away. I could leave from the lunch, go pick up my mom, drive her home. So we go to this Italian restaurant, and I meet the guy outside. He's like, oh, by the way, he says, we're going to have like one or two other people eating with us also. I said, okay. You know, I don't know who they are. So I sit down at the table. We're in this deep, deep, real hardcore Italian restaurant, and I'm with this guy that's, you know, I consider a friend, a little bit older than me, a lot older than me. He's Italian, you know, he's from the neighborhood, we'll just say it like that. And all of a sudden, this guy sits down that looks like Salazzo, and a woman who's a police captain in Queens, New York. I don't want to say her name, but she's a police captain. So I recognized her face, but I couldn't remember exactly where. So I said, listen, I got to go to the bathroom. Now, if you remember the movie Godfather, that scene, Al Pacino goes to the bathroom and he's looking for the gun. So I went to the bathroom and I went in the stall and I quickly Googled police captains, Queens, New York. And I do an image search and I'm looking through and I'm like, boom, there it is. And I'm like, the fuck is she doing sitting at our dinner table? So we have dinner and they're talking about all this. I'm not saying that she's shady or anything like that. But we're at the dinner table, and they're talking like, yeah, I got to get this permit. Yeah, I got to do this for the building department. Yeah, I got to do this. I got to do that. And she's eating and this and that. And meanwhile, if anybody knows me a little bit with my food preferences, I don't eat seafood. Like, I'll have, like, branzino, because it's not fishy all that much. I might have a shrimp here or there, but that's it. Tuna fish. That's it. Tuna fish is my favorite fish. All of them are eating nothing but fish. They bring out, this is for four people, they bring out 24 shrimps, oreganata. They're like this big. They bring out 24 baked clams, a giant thing of calamari, a giant thing of squid, this stuff, fresh regatta with like honey on it. I went back on keto last week. So I'm like, you know, hey, your plate. You got to eat. All right, I'll eat. So I'm eating a little bit of shrimp. I actually ate two pieces of calamari. Wasn't bad, actually. I don't like calamari. I vowed in my lifetime never to eat calamari. So it's like, oh, I don't want to say. It's like biting on a pussy lip. I don't know. It's just rubber. I don't know. Maybe from fishing when we would use squid as bait. I seen them eating the heads. I'm like, I can't eat that. So we're sitting at the table. And he's like, you like lobster? I said, I guess, you know, but me, I don't eat lobster. You know how I'll eat lobster? Lobster canape, which is like a pastry fried with a little bit of lobster on the top with spicy mayo. You don't even taste the lobster. You eat the, it's like fried pastries. So I swear to you, I have the pictures on my phone. They're going to send me the video. I will share the video next week. But I took two pictures myself. Guys, this is what they fucking served. This is from today. They brought out like 10-pound lobsters. Every person had that on their plate. You had gorgonzola salad, which is a little bit on the left. You had these giant lobster tails that were alive about an hour before, mashed potatoes, broccoli rabe. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, I don't even know how to eat lobster. So the guy, he went and got up to take a leak. And they forced you to eat linguine. And I'm like, I'm on keto. I don't want to eat pasta. You motherfucker, you better eat your fucking food. So that's how much linguine I had today. So while he was in the bathroom, if you look at my original plate, which is the one like at 6 o'clock, I turned around and I took the part of the crab that I can't even like disassemble with the legs and everything, and I put it in his dish. And then when he came back, that's what I had. I took the lobster tail, I ripped the meat out, and I tried to like cover it up with the linguine and stuff like that. That was crazy. Lobster tails the size of this. I never saw that in my life. I never saw lobsters that big. And everybody's just eating. And I don't know what it is with all of you that eat lobster. Because I've seen this with my fiance. I seen it with my dad. I seen it with others. And I saw it with this guy tonight. What is it with all of you eating lobster? That you break the shit open. The leg or something like that, and you take a piece of meat out, and the piece of meat is thick, and you show the world, hey, look at this. Look at this piece of meat. He pulled out this piece of meat from this lobster today. It looked like a shark's fin. It was like this big. And he's like, he gets up. He's like, hey, look. And everyone's like, oh. And I'm like, what? It was insane. After we were done, we had espresso. They brought out tiramisu. I'm like, no, I don't want to have any tiramisu. You know, I just went back on keto, this to that. Have a piece. Have a fork. So I had a fork. Luckily, I did my blood sugar. I checked my ketones about 10 minutes before I went live here, and I'm still in ketosis. I got home at about 10 to 5. I swear on God, I went home, I laid it, went into my bed, and I slept until 9:15. For 4 hours straight, I was zonked out like a light. I don't know if it's because I had pasta being on, hardcore keto the last day. I literally got so tired and so cold, I passed out for 4 hours. I slept 4 hours tonight, and I'm tired now. So when I go after the show, I'm going right back to bed. So this knocked me for a loop. But just picture me sitting at this table, and you got people from the neighborhood, and you got a police chief, and they're talking all this stuff. And I get up to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm Al Pacino in a scene of Godfather. I got people from the neighborhood. I got a police chief. I mean, everybody was awesome. I mean, everybody was awesome, friendly. No shady stuff. I want to make that clear. But it was hilarious because I'm sitting in the restaurant and I got a police chief. I got this and I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm in the movie The Godfather. So now, okay. Mikey is asking, what was I going to say before about the shows in NXT? Okay. I have to put some timestamps tonight. We don't have many timestamps tonight, but all right. I did hear it on NXT. When we did the watch party, I was like, yeah, there is only one Don in NXT, and that's Tony D'Angelo. I don't work for WWE. But a lot of people have been emailing me a little concerned. And Mikey tonight posed a question that really, really like shook me a little bit. DT, you got to trademark your name. Because for those that didn't watch NXT this week, Tony D'Angelo said he's the Don Tony of NXT. Now, I don't see nothing wrong with that. He's the Don of NXT. He should be. That's what his character is. But now people are a little concerned. DT, what if they start calling him Don Tony? Which could very well happen. You imagine social media? Somebody already tweeted me. Tony D'Angelo posted a picture or screenshot of him from NXT. And somebody tweeted me, including him. This is the real Don Tony over here, meaning me. So I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I now, this weekend, in addition to doing my taxes, I'm going to look into, I have to trademark my name. I got to trademark it for the shows. I got to trademark it in wrestling because for the last couple of years, I had a couple of local wrestling promotions ask me, DT, would you manage again? Would you do a little bit again? And I said, look, I said, if I could physically handle it, I mean, I'm no spring chicken anymore. I'm more William Regal age than anything else. You know, if I can handle it, yeah, I'll do a little bit. But then COVID hit. So, you know, COVID screwed everything up, but we're almost out of COVID. So I have to trademark it for wrestling also, because if I want to even do something for an indie show and I call myself Don Tony, and then we hear that WWE trademarked the term Don Tony, what happens? I mean, sure, a lot of people that I've chatted with the last couple of days, the last 2 days, you know, said the same thing. DT, you've been using that name for 15 plus years. Don't worry about it. You have enough. I don't want to have to hire a lawyer. I don't want to have to pay a lawyer to defend that I could still use the name. So I literally have to now trademark my name and trademark the shows. So I'll give you a little inside, but I didn't do it. I shouldn't even be saying this, but I think some people get a good laugh out of it. When I started getting the DMs from some of my viewers and listeners that were showing me screenshots of what some people were saying behind my back that claimed to be my friend. Some of those people still don't even know that I've seen that stuff. You know, I've realized that some people that I'm friendly with, I have distanced myself from some people. And I don't know, maybe they think that I know, but some of them still have no idea of some of the things I've seen that they've written about me privately. Yes, I definitely am an asshole at times, and I definitely deserve some of the stuff. What I don't tolerate is people that'll wish me well and say niceties. So everybody on social media be like, wow, what a nice guy showing support for this guy. And then behind my back, that motherfucker. That's different. One particular person, when I had the falling out with Kev Castle, this is not going to be controversy. He could hear this, you know, it's not anything. But, you know, it wasn't just one DM. There was a few things that I saw. And when we first broke away, I pulled all the DTKC shows down. Not to be spiteful, but, you know, the one thing that I didn't want to have constantly happen is people refusing to let it go. You know, a lot of people also early on were putting this narrative out there that the reason why the shows ended was because one person wanted to go video and the other person did not. And that was a lie. That was a lie. Because for 8 months or whatever it was, 7 months, we did do one side audio, one side video, and shows were okay. But a lot of the DMs that I started getting, it started piling up. So when I finally got the last DM that pretty much was the straw that broke the camel's back, I pulled the shows down. And I had a few people that are pretty big in podcast land that were throwing a lot of shade my way, trying to make me the bad guy. And I said, why don't you surface conversations of me saying horrible stuff about him or someone else? Notice no one has ever surfaced that. And yeah, if people aren't stupid. If they try to Photoshop it, you know, I can have them expose very quickly because they would have to show proof in a certain way and they would not be able to do it. You know, it's not so easy to just type up a DM and then Photoshop someone else's name on there. You know, that's why even with my stuff, you know, I show video screenshots of everything. I show video. If I tell you, okay, put your phone on and go into your DM and video, live video, you know, that I wrote that to you. Nobody could do it. It'll be a screenshot because it's Photoshop. That's why no one has ever done it. But anyway, so when everything went down and people were pushing all these fake narratives, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trademark my name. I'm going to trademark DTKC Show, and I'm going to trademark his name. And then I'm going to do like what they did in WWE with Glenn Jacobs and the other guy, the fake Scott Hall and the fake Kevin Nash. I was going to find a new Kevin. And because I own the trademark for Kevin Castle, if he ever dared to go on other podcasts, wrestling related, I'd be like, stop using the name. I own the trademark. Like I owned ECW. I was going to buy the trademark for his name. And then if he did show, then I was like, yeah, that's kind of like a fantasy. I could be the ultimate douchebag, but he's not a bad guy. I'm like, come on, that's a little much. But yeah, at one point I actually thought about trademarking the show and my name and his name. And then when everything was I originally was going to trademark it to protect the shows. That's why I set up the corporation originally. But when we had the falling out, I said, oh, if he does a wrestling show somewhere else and uses that name, sir, stop using that name. I own the trademark to that name. I send you a cease and desist. But I can't do that. I did that for ECW. I can't do that to a human being. It's just not right. And the guy's not a bad guy. So I never did it. But, you know, there was conversation about it. I'm like, hey, I got a credit card with a little bit of credit limit available. I could just charge this shit, pay it off in a couple of years, but it'll be worth it. Couldn't do it. I don't have that in me. Rams fan says I went ham. Oh, you get older, man. You know, I had two cancer scares. You know, I still got this horrible twisting pain if I bend the wrong way that nobody seems to know what it is. I think I know what it is. I think I have a defect in my diaphragm that when you turn a certain way, it like twists underneath. And it's worse than a Charlie horse. You know, I got my parents that are not in great health. I try to cherish as much time as I have left with them. And I don't have time for the negativity anymore. I don't have time for the hatred. Yeah, we'll address social media as a whole and we'll address some of the awful shit that goes on in the wrestling world. But that's because that is a big problem in hand, and it definitely is a conversation to be had because no one else is having that conversation. So I just don't have the time. I'm about to get married. I'm getting old. I mean, let's be honest. I got bills to pay and I have a wedding to pay off. I'm paying the entire wedding myself. I mean, my fiance is buying her own dress and paying for invites and stuff like that, but I have not asked my family for a penny. I refuse to take money from her family. I want to pay this off. I want to show my family and her family that we wanted this so bad that we took care of it ourselves. It's not easy, especially when you live in Queens, New York. Everything is expensive. So I'm not going to waste my time here being a sour grape. I just want to have fun. Seriously. I went ham on my meal. Dude, you don't know how shitty I felt before. I think my blood sugar went down almost to, I don't even know, maybe hypoglycemic level. Because I actually started doing something. I shouldn't be saying this. I started taking something 2 weeks ago. Ah, fuck it. And if you think I'm lying, Saturday, I'll take it out of the fridge and I'll show it to you. I got prescribed Ozempic 2 weeks ago. I went off keto for about 2 weeks. Remember all those sweet potato fry references and pictures? I ate sweet potato fries. I had brown rice. I had a little bit of pizza. I actually, one day I had a little bit of cake, you know, but I wasn't too bad. You know, I didn't really go overboard. I gained like 15 pounds like this. So I went to my doctor and I said, look, I need to lose 20, 25 pounds before my wedding. My problem is I get very hungry at night. I said, is there anything that you could suggest just to curb the hunger? That's why I drink so much water here. I'm not diabetic. Some people think I'm diabetic because I drink so much water. I'll drink one of these within a half hour of doing a show. So she says, did you ever hear of Ozempic? You ever see that commercial? Ozempic? It's like diabetes medicine. And for some reason, like these diabetic people, they can't just sit at home and watch TV and take Ozempic. No, they got to be shown like riding their bike in the mountains. They got to be shown canoeing. You ever see those diabetes commercials? They're not just like doing regular everyday things. Like maybe like driving down the boulevard, scoping out the chicks. Maybe you go to a store, pick up a pack of cigarettes, buy some lottery tickets. Go to the grocery store, pick up a half a pound of ham. Or as they say in my neighborhood, a half a pound of Emma. That's what the Italian people say in my neighborhood. I know I've said it before. But the women in my neighborhood, the elderly women in my father's store, it happened to me the other day. I went there to buy my fiance a salami sandwich. Genoa salami. And this old lady next to me. Hi, honey. What can I get for you? Give me a half a pound of Emma. Emma. It's ham. Emma. Like Emma. Emma. Give me a half a pound of chis. Chis. C-H-I-S. But if you look at these diabetes commercials, they're always doing things that we would never do. They go to like a carnival and they're walking for like 95 hours. They're canoeing, they're going up mountains, they're hiking, you know, and they're always smiling. You ever see that asshole hiking in the mountains? And he's always like, and the best part of those commercials, they never talk to each other. If you've never noticed that, this is like going old school Minority Report, because we would just blurt these out of nowhere. We would just start ragging on bullshit commercials. You watch some of these commercials for like heart failure or blood issues, diabetes, you know, the medications where they have side effects. Side effects could cause you vomiting, passing out, death. I'm going to take a medication, the side effect, death. Death has happened to some people. If you watch those commercials, 95% of the time, they don't talk to each other. I'll tell you one commercial. I'll tell you one commercial. Extra credit for anybody in the chat room. Anybody in the chat room that knows the medication. There is a commercial. It's not funny. I mean, I'm not laughing at the people. I'm just talking about how they make these commercials. There's a commercial about a guy who has memory loss. And, you know, it's dementia, memory loss. And, you know, he doesn't remember, like, things. And his wife looks all upset. And the little kid runs up to him, Grandpa, Grandpa. And he's acting like, who the fuck are you? And the kid is, like, all upset. Then he takes medicine. And then if you look, he's painting like a Picasso. He's got, like, gray hair. He looks like a rejected model from, like, International Mail. He's painting. He's painting a Picasso because he took this medication. And if you go and you look at that commercial and he's looking at his wife, they look at each other. They never talk. They never talk. They just look at each other. And you have the other people are walking up the mountains. They're walking up. Sarah, what's, I can't find, oh man, I'm so tempted. If I, this would be like the most epic moment in recent podcast history for me. Let's see. Dementia medicine. Dementia commercial. Let's see. Dementia commercial. Oh man, I gotta find it. Now we're going on a mission. I put dementia commercial painting. I don't think it's dementia though. Maybe it's could it be COPD? Maybe it is COPD. Because the old guy, he starts painting, but he's got memory loss. Was it Prevagen? You know, he might be right. Let me see, Prevagen commercial painting. If this guy, oh my God, it's the guy's like an epic. He's been in so many medical commercials. He should have been dead 30 years ago. He's got heart issues. He's got brain issues. He's got stomach issues. He's got skin issues. He's got penile issues. He's got so many issues. And none of this medication seems to cure him. Oh, I can't find the commercial. It's an old man memory loss, painting. Someone has got to talk about this guy before. I can't find it. Now I'm upset. Old man, I can't find it. It might be, I'm trying to remember if it's dementia. I don't know. And again, I'm not making fun of dementia. I've had relatives that have suffered from dementia. But the commercials, some of the commercials, the way they do it, it's like just wacky. Yeah, I can't find it. I'm looking at these photos and I'm getting like flashbacks to my grandparents. Yeah, we're not going to be able to find it today. I'll pull it up. I promise you, I will have the picture by Saturday night. I will open up Saturday's show with a picture of the guy. And look, the guy is not really suffering from stuff. It's just the commercials. Actually, you know what? I'll do one better. In the community section, I will post a link to the commercial. Tonight, before I go to sleep, because I know how I am, I'm not going to be able to go to sleep until I find that goddamn commercial. I'm going to find the commercial and I'll post it in the community section, you know, so you could see the commercial. But, you know, all I'm saying is these commercials, if you look at it, you know, they don't really make it where you could relate to the person. Because you look at the person in the commercial and they're walking, one woman is walking with like three different people. And if you see these commercials, everybody has to be a different nationality. This white chick that had some type of health issue, she takes this medicine and she's walking through a carnival with a black woman, a white guy, an Asian person, a Japanese person, an Islamic or Indian person. And it's got to be like five different nationalities to make it seem like it's a melting pot. And that's fine. But they force it to try to, and they walk around and she's picking up, oh, look, fruit. Look, everybody, an orange. Ooh, they're so unrelatable. So my doctor put me on Ozempic. What Ozempic is supposed to do, it's supposed to help with your blood sugar. Now, I'm on keto, so I don't have any problems with my blood sugar. But what it also is supposed to do, I never saw the commercial where the woman takes the glasses off her face and she still has glasses on. That's like this. Hey, what's up, everybody? How's everybody? I did that once on one of these shows. It might be Prevagen. It might be Prevagen. You know what? I'll look one more time. I'll just put Prevagen commercial. Let's see. Let's see if the person I'm looking. No. Because most of the people in these commercials, they're sitting on a couch and they're. I see one guy playing fucking basketball. Oh, yeah, here's one. I could save the picture awfully quick. Yeah, look, this is a screenshot from a Prevagen commercial. You know, you can't just like take the medicine and be like, yeah, I feel good. This is the commercial. Look, everybody. I'll make it bigger. He's playing basketball. Look, he took Prevagen. Now, look, it's even got the logo in the corner. Look, he took Prevagen. Now he can shoot air balls. Wow, this is like old school Minority Report. See, this is when I was ultimate asshole, DT. So I'm not making fun of the... I take Prevagen. What am I saying? Prevagen is expensive. Go on Amazon right now. Get the 20 milligram Prevagen. It's like $100 a bottle, $150 a bottle. I have 10 milligram Prevagen. Prevagen is not prescribed. No, it's definitely not Prevagen because that's not, I just realized that that's not prescribed. But I'm talking about prescription medication. I'll find a commercial later. But I'm saying like these commercials are just not realistic. I suffered from 95 heart attacks. I take this heart medicine and I'm hiking up the mountains. Somehow I suddenly have like a brand new helmet, an awesome bike, this and that. But meanwhile, for the last 11 years, I had all these heart issues and I have been sitting on the couch watching game shows all day long. But I took this heart medicine and now I could climb the Eiffel Tower. Prevagen's pretty good. I take it every morning. I take one every morning. I didn't even put two and two together to see how Prevagen doesn't work late at night. But getting back to the Ozempic, the reason why she put it on me, gave me Ozempic is what one of the things it's supposed to do is it's supposed to slow down your metabolism in your stomach, the digestive process of your food. So the food sits in your stomach longer. So when you eat something during the day, you know, when you eat food, it takes a certain amount of time to get processed through your body and then it eliminates it as waste. Ozempic, I believe, slows down that process. So at night, where your food should be preparing to be for an exit, it's still chilling in your stomach. So you feel full and you don't want to cheat at night. I've been on it for 2 weeks. And so far, I could say that I definitely see a difference. Because usually at night, after I'm done with the shows, before I go to bed, I'll have like cottage cheese or I'll have like a keto yogurt and then I'll crash. And I notice several nights I just go right to bed. But the only problem with that is when it stays in your, you know, your stomach a little bit longer, that means it's not exiting. And if you start getting constipated, you know, that food that should have been long gone is still chilling in there. And like, hey, we got company and you got more shit coming in there. So no, it's not Ozempic. I think that's O'Reilly. Didn't Jim Ross do that the other day when he talked about Kyle O'Reilly at Revolution? I think he went O'Reilly. All right. We're going to start wrapping this up. As you noticed, I blended questions in the discussions, but there are a couple of questions that were sent in about an hour before the show for some people who could not tune in live. And again, you do not have to be live anymore to submit a question. You know, all I ask is, you know, keep the questions where I don't have to require a lot of research or keep it something where, you know, I don't think it's fair to spend a crazy amount of time just on one person. You know, it's not about money or anything like that. It's just that the shows are for everybody. And if somebody has a particular question that needs an answer, you know, that might be a little bit complicated, it's probably better to be left off the shows. But Paul Bielowski asked, how would I book all the unused women at WrestleMania? I would do a battle royal. I would do a battle royal, or I would do, you know, some type of a gauntlet match. I prefer a battle royal. I mean, if you're going to say to me that not a lot of these women are used to battle royals, well, they do a Royal Rumble every year now. In order to be eliminated in a Royal Rumble, you go over the top rope. So I would have all the women and they're not being used. Oh, shit. Hold on. I think we just had a connection issue. Wow. I think we're back, but I just saw for a split second. Audio, there's no issues. There's no outage, but I think it was just an outage for like 2 seconds. So if anybody watching the video, you didn't miss out on anything. But the women, you know, they do a Royal Rumble every year. So these women know how to go over the top rope and get eliminated. So I would do a battle royal. And I would have the women wear the T-shirts for the brand that they're on and have them do a battle royal. You could even do it on a kickoff show. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's what I would do for some of the women or all the women that are not being used. Hell, I would even consider putting some NXT women in there just for the experience. So, Gamers Block, he's wondering why are people suggesting Ring of Honor now be a developmental league when it hasn't been one? And am I against it, them turning it into a developmental? Well, I talked a little bit about it yesterday. I love the fact that Ring of Honor might be AEW's NXT. I mean, I love the fact because, yeah, it should be a developmental for AEW. AEW has 4 shows now. It has Dark, Elevation, Rampage, and Dynamite. Yes, 2 of them are YouTube. But they still have to fill up time. And if you look at a lot of those dark matches, I'm sorry. Some of the wrestlers that get those wins, I don't see how they're developing when they beat someone in 2 minutes and it's like a video game match. Oh, let me hit 5 moves. I pin, I win. That's not developmental. So I personally think having Ring of Honor being a little bit of a breeding ground to graduate to AEW, I think that's awesome. I think that's excellent. I mean, look at FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling. You go back to the 80s, Florida Championship Wrestling from then and Florida Championship Wrestling, the WWE had two totally different animals. They still had the same name. Ring of Honor obviously will have that history still attached to it, but no, it should be in some capacity developmental for AEW. Maybe you don't need the whole company to be a developmental, but you definitely want to send some people there to just, you know, take it to the next level, and they start getting some real hardcore momentum and a lot of attention online. Then you could have that, you know, trickle over to AEW and do it that way. I love that idea. I love that idea. Roger Rubio, when was the last time I went to a baseball game in person? Am I excited that the lockout is ending? Yes, I'm very excited. I was always confident that the lockout was going to end early. At some points, I didn't even think it was going to delay any games. It is delaying a few. In the end, it's not a big deal. One thing you need to understand, a lot of these players were not sitting on their ass browsing on social media for the last month. A lot of these players were getting themselves in shape, staying in shape, doing some work. They just could not do it officially and spring training. So you're going to see some people that are already almost ready for major league games. Last time I went to a baseball game was about 4 years ago. Went to a Met game with a bunch of friends. I remember I was going to go on a Monday, and I ended up going on a Wednesday because this was before Wednesday Night Dynamite, so there was no shows on a Wednesday. But I'd say about 4 years ago, went to a Met game. Rams fan asked, would I rather have WrestleMania in Minnesota or Canada? I'd like to see it happen in Canada at least once. You know, now, I mean, you know, I'd like to see a WrestleMania in Canada. I'm not saying that Minnesota shouldn't have one either. I mean, they definitely have some people they could put in the hall that are from Minnesota. But I wouldn't have it in Minnesota just because of regional wrestlers that could be in the Hall of Fame. Minnesota is a good town, but I would like to see it happen in Canada at least once. I have a lot of friends, and a lot of you to tune in are from Canada. I'd love for you to have the WrestleMania experience now. I'm not talking about a WrestleMania experience from 15, 20 years ago. I'm talking about now. Now it always was a spectacle, but there's so many, you know, different events and things leading up to it that it's just an experience that, you know, it's incredible. It's incredible. I mean, you go WrestleMania weekend, and yes, you have all the promotions that would show up as well, which would be interesting, you know, for some to go, have to go to Canada. But no, I would like to see it happen in Canada. Let's see if there's any more questions here. I think that's it on that. And I answered Paul. Yeah, so those questions, those advanced questions were done. Oh, yes, yes. Okay. I know I was going to share this with you earlier. All right. WWE has this Evil series coming out on Peacock. Small episodes narrated by John Cena talking about heels. Now, when I show you this, keep in mind that this is intended for current fans of WWE programming. Yes, when you watch some of these, when I show you some of the episode synopsis, you're going to be like, what the fuck am I looking at? And then you'll notice some names missing. They try to put a little bit of yesteryear incorporated with today, but only because some of the wrestlers from yesteryear still has a little name value. You know, a lot of fans of today do like some nostalgia, so they will incorporate some nostalgia, but you will notice some names absent, and you will notice some names that have no business being on here. So, without further ado, this is episode through 4. Episode 1, Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan goes Hollywood, betraying his fans and beliefs to become the personification of evil. Yes, guys, gals, I remember the NWO was cool at the time. They threw garbage early on, but NWO ended up being pretty cool. Episode number 2, The Miz. From reality star to superstar, Mike Mizanin took fame to new heights with his villainous alter ego, The Miz. Episode number 3, Sasha Banks. There's a villain inside all of us. That reminds me of the old Ed shirt. Remember the Ed shirt we used to laugh about? Everyone has a little bit of edge inside them. And I always thought it would be funny to see a woman wearing that shirt. But anyway, Sasha Banks. There's a villain inside all of us. Sasha Banks unleashes hers to become the boss. Episode number 4, Brothers of Destruction. Brothers and sworn enemies, The Undertaker and Kane, align to become the evil duo in the WWE. And for me, I always remember enjoying the Brothers of Destruction. I mean, I'm sure they were probably heels, but I got to see how they try to put that off on TV. Here's the remainder of the episodes. Remember, they're all going to be narrated by John Cena. Episode number 5, Randy Orton. Randy Orton's evil evolution into the Legend Killer unleashes the true demons lurking within. Episode 6, Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon steps out of a father's shadow to forge a legacy of power and corruption in the WWE. Episode number 7, Ric Flair. Witness how the dirtiest player in the game, Ric Flair, became one of WWE's greatest villains. We will get back to Ric in a second. And episode number 8, Roman Reigns. From hated good guy to beloved bad guy, Roman Reigns finds new life by embracing his dark side. There was a rumored Baron Corbin episode. I kid you not. I don't think that's in the works. I wouldn't mind seeing the Stephanie one. The only problem is, I don't know how much they're going to focus on breast enhancement job Stephanie or Authority Stephanie. I'm not saying that Authority Stephanie wasn't attractive to look at. And no, I'm not watching these just for eye candy. But if you go back to boob job Stephanie, you remember the stuff with Chris Jericho when he would just call her a hoe and all this other stuff? I do not see WWE reliving that. They might show where she bought ECW or she took over ECW, but I think they're going to focus more on the Authority, to be honest with you. The Ric Flair one is going to be fascinating for the simple reason that Ric Flair has been criticizing the fuck out of WWE for quite some time now. So I pay very close attention if Ric Flair starts saying some kind words about WWE because they put him in this series. And if he does, you know what? He's a fucking hypocrite. You know, because as long as you show him attention, he is a happy camper. But you don't acknowledge him, he's worse than some of the young people on the internet. Acknowledge me, damn it. I broke up with my girlfriend. Console me, damn it. Nobody consoled me. Well, maybe because you really weren't married and you lied to everyone saying you were married. Oh, we broke up. Oh, wow. Well, you know what? People break up. They weren't really married. This guy needs so much attention, man. It's almost like, you know, like a pet. It's almost like a pet with Ric Flair, you know? The only difference is a pet, even if you ignore a pet will always go up to you and wag its tail and show you love, even if you're the biggest asshole towards that pet. Ric Flair, you show him a little bit of appreciation in the business, obviously, and then he, you know, everything is fine. Everything is good. So, yeah, Taker was both heel and babyface, but, you know, the Brothers of Destruction, I mean, I don't know. To me, I just thought, they were just more badass than anything like anything else. I'm curious to see how they show it on TV. So I think that's pretty much it, everybody. So we got into all the topics that we needed to get into today. I do want to make quick mention. Oh, let me show you. I got two more things to show you. First of all, this is the tweet that I wanted to show you all yesterday from Dolph Ziggler. When everybody was saying that he's going to retire, he should retire, and this and that, and he compared himself to Krusty the Clown. When Krusty the Clown was retiring, and then he did a little stand-up, and everybody was laughing, and Krusty the Clown, in that case, I'd like to announce my triumphant return to comedy. Somebody yesterday said, your Krusty the Clown was amazing, and then had someone else say, your Krusty the Clown was awful. So I honestly never, I could honestly say with all sincerity, in the 25 years of doing this, yesterday was the first time I ever did a Krusty the Clown impersonation. I just heard it and I just, you know, in my mind, and it's not that hard. So I don't know, but I love the reference. I thought that was awesome. Because a lot of people had no idea why Dolph Ziggler did that reference. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Because NXT fans are not getting vicious on people like, know your history. Know your Simpson history. Know your Krusty the Clown history. I sound like Vince. If Vince McMahon was Krusty the Clown. In that case, I announced my return to comedy. Shut up. Vince McMahon the Clown. Check out this tweet. I'll leave you this before we go. Ty Conti posted a tweet earlier that got a response from Cody. Just figured I'd share with you. Nothing controversial, but, you know, he did respond almost immediately. She writes this evening, hey, Cody, Brandy, when you all coming back? You left all the haters to me and Sammy Guevara. Cody's response was, you got to let this absorb a little bit, because he is spot on with this point. Mediocrity loves company. And when you're underrated, everybody is your friend. Just do the work like you all do, wear the crown, and smile. It's still the best sport, the best fans, and ultimately it's all worth it. What he's saying, if we could try to put it in a way that we can relate. And again, I'm not comparing myself to Ty Conti. Mediocrity is always, everybody wants to be your friend when you're mediocre, because you're not a threat to those people. So if you're just going along and you're not a standout and you're just doing what you're doing, everybody wants to be your friend. The minute you start escalating and taking your stuff to another level, that's when haters come out. That's when people show their true colors. And if we could relate to us, a lot of your favorite podcasters out there, some that I get along with, some that I don't, but I guarantee you that if you ask them what I'm bringing up right now, they will say, spot on. The minute they started getting some success and getting some play, making a little money, getting offers, soon as you start showing that you're really trying to take your stuff to another level, that's where the haters show up. That's where the jealousy shows up. That's where all of, you know, the two-faced people show up. And that has happened. It's happened to me. It's happened to a lot of, and again, we're not comparing us to them. We're just trying to relate in how all of us, you remember how I always said to all of you out there, if you want the ultimate middle, give the ultimate middle finger to your haters, be successful, enjoy yourself. That's the ultimate F you to haters is success. You've heard me say that off and on for years. The more you do good, the more you focus on what you do, the more it's cringe to others. It's bitterness from others. There's a lot of jealousy. And that's what Cody, his message is to Ty Conti, that you keep doing what you're doing, wear the crown, go as far as you can. In the end, it'll be worth it. That's his message. And look, it as far as even the stuff that I do, it does get lonely. It does get lonely. I mean, like I said, you know, taking some decisions that are not, you know, very easy to do can be very unpopular. But as I've always said, for each and every one of you out there, and I say this in closing, for each and every, yes, James, I will say what you just wrote because you're so spot on. You know, I've always said to each and every one of you out there, you got to worry about yourself. You got to make yourself happy. You got to do what you enjoy. And don't do it based on how much attention you get online. Because again, you know, like people mock social media. They'll mock like, oh, people just write things for hits and for clicks. And in a minute they get a little bit of attention from a little wise-ass remark they make, they have to make it their wallpaper. They got to pin it. They got to show the world, hey, look, everybody, I got all these people that acknowledge me. That's fine for a 16-year-old. That's fine for a 20-year-old. But when you get to your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, and your bragging rights is, hey, I threw a catchy insult and look, all these people loved it. Hashtag, do I want to tweet or do I want to eat? And honestly, when I said that in February of 2020, remember that hashtag, do I want to tweet or do I want to eat? I look at everything that has happened for us here, getting the deal with Blue Wire, now hosting these watch parties, being hired for that. I mean, and then once they ink the deal with Peacock, we will be the watch party for WWE premium live events / pay-per-views. I mean, this is awesome. And, you know, or I could have just tweeted and just put all my attention elsewhere. So you got to worry about yourselves. Do what makes you happy. Do what makes you feel good. And don't do it based on what other people's reaction is. Because at the end of the day, you know, those thousands of people that may acknowledge you on social media, are they paying your bills? When you are down and out, do they say anything other than, my thoughts and prayers are with you. They type it, okay, I made my appearance. It's like going to a funeral. I know what I'm about to say is fucked up, but I know 99% of you out there, you'll be like, DT, it's true. How many people out there have ever had to go to a funeral? You're like, man, I don't want to fucking go to this. I didn't even really know this person. I wasn't even close to Aunt so-and-so. You got to make an appearance. Just show your face. So you show up. You don't even put on nice clothes. Oh, I just came from work. That's why I'm dressed the way I am. I've done it. You go to the funeral. Oh, my condolences. You go up, you say your prayer, you leave 10 minutes later. I made my appearance. Good. I'm gone. You know, that's what people do on social media. Oh, my thoughts and prayers, a bunch of heart emojis, thinking of you, you know, keep strong, this and that. And 95% of them, okay, I made my presence. I look good. Now if something happens, at least there's documentation that I, you know, that's why even when I was having those early announcements, remember all those early announcements, those teasers I were putting up? Remember I said there was a group of people that were always absent whenever I would put those announcements up? They would disappear from social media for a day or two. And then after a couple of days, they would quietly like it or post a little comment just so people don't realize, hey, so-and-so never even gave a shit. You know what that feels like? Especially when I got engaged. When I got engaged, there was about 15 people that were supposedly really good friends of mine online. And I was saying you know, for like 6 months before that, I said, you know, I noticed a little trend that every time I put a cool announcement up or a teaser, is a certain people that never are around. And when I posted the announcement and I got engaged, I think 12 or 13 of those 15 people did not write anything for like 2 or 3 days. And then they wrote something when they realized, okay, I'm the only one that didn't. So I got to like suck it up and write it so it just looks like I made an appearance. So it's awful. You got to do what makes you happy. You know, I am loving this. I love hanging out with all of you. You know, trying to have every show have a little bit of a different feel to it. And I really believe that reducing the time on these shows to like an hour, slightly over an hour, in the end is going to be epic. If anybody out there that did not tune in to the Patreon episode, the mission I did Tuesday, you have to go out of your way to tune in. We did an hour and 10 minutes. We actually did an hour, but I spent the last 5 minutes or so just closing it out. And we just segued from question to question to question to question to question. And we had some of the funniest conversation. I mean, we ended up doing some dopey reciting of the Lion King. We were talking about that mayor in Chicago was a Lori Lightfoot going down on Mish, if you know what I mean. It was just some wild, wild stuff. But we made a concerted effort. We're going to do this in an hour. And it forced us to just keep switching, switching, switching. And it turned into arguably one of the funniest episodes we've done in years. So, Kairi Sane returning to stardom. That's good. That's good. She is so freaking talented that she should be getting the play that she does in Japan. You know, I know a lot of people in the States would love to have her back. I think she'll be back in WWE sometime. I don't know if it's anytime soon, but it'll happen. I felt bad for the people that actually thought she was in attendance at the Royal Rumble. That was such clickbait, man. And thank you, James, earlier. Edge should be one of these evil minisodes that John Cena is narrating. How do you not put Edge? Now, in all fairness, though, when you look at this, I mean, these episodes are going to fly by. This is not something that's going to be milked for 2 months. They're not stopping at episode 8, friends. So, yes, Edge will have an episode. Interesting, the choices that they made. You know, I could see Roman, I could see Randy Orton, Brothers of Destruction, Sasha, Miz, even Hogan. I'm a little surprised about Flair and Stephanie, especially since Stephanie's not currently an on-air character. A little surprised with Stephanie. I would have taken Stephanie out and put Edge in her place. But then again, maybe they just wanted that female presence and they're like, who was like a really big-time heel? Stephanie has got to be near the top of that list, even though she's not really a wrestler. So, but Edge, absolutely. He'll be in the second set. I don't think there's a question. So, all right, everybody, much love. I thank you, as always, for your support. And if you know anyone else out there that you think would like the channel, always spread the word. It is always appreciated. So, again, tomorrow, if you want to be part of the SmackDown Watch Party, it will go from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We will have the server on about 15 minutes early. So if you want to connect a few minutes early, get your seat. If you want to check your, you remember, video's not required. Video's not required. But if you want to go on the stage and speak up and talk, everybody hears you, we talk, we chat a little bit about what we're watching, then just test your video. You could use your phone. You could use your iPhone to do this. Just do the browser, and you just connect with your camera and your audio, and you're good. If you don't want to be on video, then just text. But don't just show up and sleep, because we did have a few people the other day that showed up and never even said hello in a text. And the idea of the watch party is we all hang out. Not required to have audio or video. But we'll do SmackDown from 8 to 10, and then immediately from 10 to 11, it'll be Rampage It's not going to be recorded unless anything really funny goes down, and I'll get some clips from the company. But I hope you can join us. And it's a lot of fun. It's very, very relaxed, down to earth. It's like just hanging out in the chat room. We're all watching a little wrestling. You don't have to have your video connected as far as SmackDown. We provide the video. Or you just sit back, relax, and you watch. I will provide the video. We watch it. It is 100% legal. And I was hired from a company to do this. And I hope you can join us. So everyone, be well. I'll talk to you soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.